You know, what's amazing is that the thing about Sweet Jesus and the CUCC Praise Band was a joke that Paul put into the bulletin. They didn't know about it till this morning, but that's what they did with it. So good for you. The gospel reading is from John's Gospel, the 20th chapter, beginning with the 19th verse. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jewish leaders. Jesus came and said and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And after he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they're retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the others told him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house. Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who've not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. In our hearing, our speaking, our living, may God's word abound. A second humor break. Does anybody else have a joke? All right, Bill Jarrett. And Eli, you have one for us? Cool. And Ralph, okay.
Okay. Man walks into a bar, sits down, calls to the bartender, says, "Three beers, please." Bartender brings over three beers, drinks them, gets up and goes out. Next week he comes in, says, "Bartender, three beers, please." Bartender comes over, says, "Here are your three beers, pal, but what's the story with ordering three beers at a time?" He says, "Well, I'm from the old country. I've been here a long time. I left my two brothers over there, and I told them, every time I went into a bar, I would have a beer for the three of us." Bartender nods. Guy comes in every week, orders his three beers. One day, the guy comes in, sits down, motions to the bartender, "Two." Bartender walks up, brings over two beers and says, "I'm sorry for your loss, man." He says, "No, it's okay. I'm just giving up beer for Lent."
That's good.
So the devil calls God and says, "Do you want to play a baseball game?" And God says, "Well, why do you want to do that? I have Babe Ruth, Jackie Robinson, and Mickey Mantle. I got all the greats. I'll kill you." And then the devil says, "Well, I got all the umpires."
All right, Ralph, let's let Ralph go.
And I will follow one up that I remembered because of you. Thank you very much. Your joke about heaven. Many years down the road, hopefully, Mike Krzyzewski passes away. And he goes to the gates, and they meet him at the pearly gates with a very, very nice golf cart. And they give him a tour, just as was promised, streets of gold. They take him to his kind of a patio home, very, very nice, luxurious granite everywhere. And he is just very, very happy. And St. Peter says, "Well, before you really get settled in, let's give you a tour of the rest of the facility." So they're driving around. They start going up kind of like foothills, and suddenly they see this magnificent house on a hill, brick with Carolina blue trim, a huge wraparound porch, and a huge banner on the front of the porch, UNC. And Mike says, I love my place, but this is not fair that you would give Dean Smith this kind of a house. And St. Peter said, that's not Dean's, that's God's.
John?
All right, I believe this is one of the two my wife approved. So a church, as so many, was doing a cleanup of the grounds for spring. And as they were doing it, it was obvious they were going to run out of paint after doing the first three sides. So the minister had a great idea. He remembered that there was paint thinner down in the basement. He had the paint thinned and felt that he was done. But of course, that night a huge rainstorm came. And when he got up in the morning and looked around the church, the paint had all come off of that side. So he sat and he meditated and he thought. And then he prayed until the heavens parted and a voice came from above giving him the answer, repaint and thin no more.
Why does a chicken coop have two doors? If it had four, it would be a chicken sedan.
All right, Sophie.
Someone stole my mood ring. I'm not sure how I feel about that.
Say that again. I didn't hear it. Say it again, Sophie.
Someone stole my mood ring. I'm not sure how I feel
about that. Very good. Catherine?
So it was the third day after the crucifixion, and Jesus' work on earth was done. He ascended into heaven, and down the road he saw the pearly gates, and he started walking. As he got closer, he saw an old man standing with St. Peter. And Jesus looked at the old man, the old man looked at Jesus, and he got a little closer, and he looked at the old man, and the old man looked at Jesus. And finally he arrived and he said, old man, can I ask you a few questions? And the old man said, sure. And Jesus said, old man, when you were on earth, were you a carpenter? And the old man said, why, yes I was. And Jesus asked, and did you have a son under rather unusual circumstances? And the old man said, yes I did. And Jesus asked the old man one last question. When you were on earth, was your name Joseph? And the old man said, in many languages, people called me Joseph. And Jesus said, Father. And the old man said, Pinocchio.
Terry?
Doesn't love church signs? Any of the rest of you like to ride around and see what people have put on their signs? Okay, so here are a few that I've actually seen on signs. Do you know what hell is? Come hear our preacher. Another one. Now is a good time to visit. Our preacher is on vacation. Choose the bread of life or you are toast. Come hear our pastor. She's very good, but she's quick. Now this one you have to think about a little bit. Little Mother's Club, meeting Thursday at 5 p.m. Want to be a little mother? Come see our pastor. This one said, to whomever stole our air conditioning units, keep one because you will need one where you're going. Another one, bring your spiritual marshmallows. Our pastor is on fire. Don't let your worries kill you. Let our church help you. And finally, if life stinks, we have a pew for you.
Need to do this more than once a year. All these great jokes. So how many evangelists does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but the bulb must repent of its darkness and be willing to be changed. How many liberals does it take to change a light bulb? 10, but they'll need to debate whether or not the light bulb actually exists. And even then, they may still not change it for fear of alienating those who use fluorescent bulbs. How many Amish does it take to change a light bulb? What's a light bulb? Okay. Thank you all for the wonderful jokes. Rhesus Pascalis, the Easter laugh. That's the name that's often used, was used in the very earliest church for what we're celebrating today. It's been called Laughter Sunday, Hilarity Sunday, Humor Sunday, Bright Sunday, Holy Fool Sunday. It traces its roots through generations, hundreds and hundreds of years. Sometimes it was a week-long celebration with parties and practical jokes and folks taking off from work. Doesn't that sound good for a week just to laugh? There have been many iterations of it through the centuries. And of course, then you can see this coming. The observance of Rhesus Pascalis, the Easter laugh, was officially outlawed by Pope Clement X in the 17th century because people were having too much fun. These are serious times indeed. We've had a constant stream of bad news, haven't we? There are people here struggling with serious issues. Paul and I even talked during the week about whether or not we should go ahead with this in light of all of that and what is going on with Fran and Anne. But we realized maybe we needed even more. And knowing that Fran would be right there and would have been the first one to jump up with a joke. So we'll give her the chance when she's back. So this is not in any way to belittle the hard stuff, but to remember that it is indeed God who gets the last laugh, the last word. God who has played the ultimate joke on evil in raising Christ from the dead. I stepped in the elevator the other day at Cone Hospital on one of my visits, and there was a couple there who were talking about something disappointing, some bad news they had received in their family, but the woman said, "But you know what? God is still large and in charge." I thought, that's pretty good. So I shared that with Anne. On this second Sunday of Easter, the reading is always John's account of Doubting Thomas, as we call him. I thought of him when I saw a video and posted it on Facebook. Maybe you saw it a couple days before Easter. It's a cute little three-year-old girl in Scotland sitting at a kitchen table across from her dad. Her dad is painting an Easter egg, and she's watching him. Her name is Isla, and she asks her dad, "Are you painting a face on an egg?" "Yes, I am," he says. "Have you lost your mind?" "No, it's for Easter." "Ugh," she says. "Okay," her dad says, "so what's wrong with Easter?" "I just don't understand what it's all about," she says. And she goes on to say that she's never allowed to have chocolate, but then on Easter and Halloween and Christmas, she's loaded up with chocolate. And then she says, "I just don't get the characters." "What characters?" her dad asks. "The Easter characters," she continues. "We learned all about it at nursery. Are the Easter Bunny and Jesus best pals?" "Well, no, not really," her dad says. "Well, is the Easter Bunny in the Bible? Does he carry a basket all the time?" "Well, the thing is," her father tries to interject, "the bunny's not really in the Bible." "Well, what do you think Jesus' favorite chocolate is?" she asks. "Mine's buttons." I don't think Jesus had a favorite. Listen, Isla, lots of people believe lots of different things, but what's most important is that we have fun together. She ponders. You know what I really don't get? Bunnies don't even lay eggs. Like little Isla, Thomas wasn't sure about all this Easter stuff. And of course, each year we use Thomas to try and say to folks, it's perfectly okay, it's healthy to have doubts at times in our faith journey. So I hope you know that. Danger comes when we take our doubts and our convictions too seriously, when we lose perspective, when we take ourselves too seriously, because it can block out the gratitude and the wonder and the laughter that we so need to sustain that faith. Thomas shows up in the gospel three times. The first is when Jesus has heard about Lazarus's death and the disciples don't want to go back to Judea because Jesus got in trouble there, and Thomas says, well, let's go and die with him. That's pretty serious. And the second time is when Jesus is talking to the disciples for the last time and says, I go and prepare a place for you. And Thomas says, well, we don't know where that is. How do we know how to get there? Pretty literal, serious guy. And the third then is this after the resurrection. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously. I do. We lose perspective and fear it's all up to us. Jesus, of course, had a great sense of humor. It didn't come out in jokes that we know of, but he used playful humor in his images often. A blind man leading another blind man into a ditch. Lighting your lamp under a bed or under a bushel. Lamps were flames. Who did that? Taking a plank out of your own eye before removing a speck from someone else's eye. The thought of a camel squeezing through the eye of a needle. How absurd. Or a parent giving a child a snake when the child asks for a fish. Jesus exaggerated amounts of things like coins and seeds and such. I even wonder if Jesus was telling Thomas to lighten up some when he said, come here and put your hand in my side. Touch my wounds. Lighten up, Thomas. And indeed, the resurrection itself has been portrayed as God's great laugh on evil. And as a joke, I've lost my third page. So we need to laugh. We need humor. Can you take a few more jokes? There was a lady who on a Saturday afternoon was baking to get ready for a big Sunday dinner. She hears a knock on the door. There's a guy in shabby clothes, and he says he's looking for odd jobs. He asked if there was anything he could do, and she said, do you paint? He said, oh, yes, I'm a very good painter. Well, she said, there are 2 gallons of green paint there and a brush. There's a porch out back that needs to be painted. Please do a good job. I'll pay you what you're worth. He said, great, I'll be done quickly. So she went back to her baking and didn't think more about it till there's another knock on the door. She went, and it was obviously he had done some painting. Did you finish the job? She said, yes. Did you do a good job? He said, oh, yes. But lady, there's one thing I need to point out to you. That is not a Porsche back there, it's a Mercedes. Or, how about the two people who had been friends on earth? They die and they go to the gates of heaven and they tell St. Peter, we want to get married. And St. Peter says, you've got all of eternity. Take 50 years and think about it. Come back and see me. So they wait 50 years in heaven. They come back to see Peter. We still want to get married. And Peter says, no, there's no rush. It's eternity we're dealing with. He said, no, we really want to get married. So Peter says, we'll take another 50 years, and if we don't have a preacher up by then, I'll do the wedding myself. Laughter I hope in the years after that day that Thomas learned to lighten up and laugh. Surely he and the others learned that there was nowhere they could go, nothing that could happen that would be outside the realm of God's love. Jesus' last words were, "Peace I leave with you." Laughter can help us find that peace. So I end with a blessing that I often use at the end of a wedding. May God grant us laughter and perspective in the awareness that life is never quite as serious as we suppose. But grant as well that our laughter be grounded in love more precious than we dare to take for granted, even for a day. Amen.